kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does. We are in the air everywhere, spanning the globe with podcasting, marginal podcasting, this podcast, because 4 hours are not enough on the overnight. We do this 8 days a week, 8 days a week, obviously spin off of the radio show. You know all that. And on this, the Sunday fun day edition of the podcast, we have a giant, oversized, stuffed to the gills version of the mailbag. A lot of questions in the mailbag. And we also have To Be or Not To Be. And right over there, David Gagan, affectionately known by his code name Gascon.
Loud and proud in the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where you have not been for the last 6 months and counting, Ben Maller.
I don't know about that. Nice. I went in there to pick up my mail.
Picking up your mail is not really working and spending time with your colleagues.
I had to go in one time because the equipment didn't work right, so I had to drive in there, and I spent about 3 hours there. That was enough.
I guess.
So I've been there.
All right. Well, very considerate of you to pass on by during your vacation stay at home.
I make sure to go when you're not there, though. That's what I do.
That's not true. You came in one time when I was here, and you popped in the studio to say,
"That was a mistake."
Yeah, I don't know. It was a mistake that you went in the opposite direction. I don't know. It's good though.
It's a very cool hat this week. Listener Aaliyah in Maine, and she's a big fan. I met her at the Maller meet and greet in Boston. Aaliyah and Paul there. Paul's a big super fan also. And
what kind of hat?
Oh, it's a Portland Sea. They sent me two Portland Sea Dogs hats.
Nice.
And I wore one. These are cool. I love minor league baseball hats.
Yeah.
They're pretty neat. It's a good looking logo. It's got the P there with the dog coming out of the P there with his head peeking out. It's good look. Good logo.
Has anyone gotten you a new but old school version of the San Diego Padres brown hats yet?
No, that's a good looking hat too. I like that Padre hat. You know what? And people complain because I wear like the Iowa Hawkeyes hat. I wore that the other day, and they're like, "What about you know, these idiots in Minnesota?" Listen, that hat was sent. I have no affiliation with the University of Iowa, but Chris in Des Moines, he said, "Listen, you got a size 8 hat? I'll send you the hat, whatever." And I'm open if somebody wants to send me a Minnesota Golden Gophers hat. I'll wear the damn Minnesota Golden Gophers hat. I got no problem with that. But I got a big head, and that's a problem and all that. I don't expect anyone to send me anything, but some super fans like to do it. But if you have a problem, dude, I'll wear it. I'm a billboard with these dumb videos I got to do on YouTube for the show. I'll put it out there. Why not?
Yeah, people just want to complain. Speaking of complaining, did you hear about this? Podcast is starting to go downhill.
Is that right?
According to Colin in Denver, at first, this was one of the best sports podcasts I'd ever heard. Ben and Gascon had a great back and forth and actually occasionally different on some issues. The past few months have been rough, in all caps. Rough. Other than a few good interviews here and there, this podcast has become a joke. There can't be too many podcasts spreading more off-base conservative propaganda than this one. Every show is now a misguided adventure through the current events of the day. And
what's this guy's name?
Colin in Denver. And he says, almost every guest is brought on to spew the same nonsense, and Gascon now exists to lick Ben's toes and agree with whatever he says. Literally everything Republican garbage. This is getting bad regardless of which side of the 405 you are on. Boo.
Well, Gascon, listen, this is more an example of... I don't know. That guy's got issues or whatever. But I got plenty of email. Look at this one. You want to do yin for yang? Rick from San Ramon. He's a P1.
Okay.
He says, Ben and Dave, your interview with Dave Rubin was a 10. I follow him on Twitter, and normally his takes are spot on. I wish people would educate themselves and stop being intimidated by the social justice warriors. Keep up the great work. It's from Rick, who enjoyed the hell out of it.
That's awesome.
And was a big fan, and there's a bunch of other ones. This guy, Steve, in San Diego. He says, hey, my name is Steve. I listened to your radio show and the Fifth Hour podcast. I wanted to say thank you for not bowing to the current world groupthink and expressing sane opinions on the absurdity that's going on with athletes and the world. We need more voices like yours. How about that to speak up? And he said also liked the Jerry Callahan podcast from Boston.
That was good.
Dave Rubin, he said he enjoyed those episodes. And he says he's going to subscribe to their stuff as well because of our podcast. He will now be a fan of theirs and listen to their material.
That's good. Now,
so that's from Steve.
Dave Rubin's off social media, I think, for a month. He's taking a nice little sabbatical. Uh-huh. We need to get him back. We need to get Leo Terrell back in. I think those guys were a lot of fun. So,
and some of the radio guys, Hacksaw, was good. And I'd like to branch out. And John Stossel, we did a whole thing about John Stossel. I love his material. I would like to get him on.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point there, we should get Carolla. Adam Carolla's got some book to promote. We should get Carolla on here.
Yeah, he takes a blowtorch to everything though, too, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, that'll really offend Colin in Denver. So we'll put him on there.
He did give us 3 stars, so we're at least batting about 250, 275 right now.
Oh, okay.
So I got you. I'll take that.
Listen, well, in fairness, we had 4 months with no sports, so we did change it up a little bit.
And, that's true.
Yeah.
And then we had sports with politics.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everything in sports is political now. They've decided to politicize sports and... Well, that's, don't blame us. Blame Adam Silver and the other commissioners of sports who have decided, Roger Goodell, this is good.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm not buying, though. I know Clay has been sending out all these ratings about how they're down and all that. I need more of a sample size.
Yeah.
It's only been a little bit. And it would be fascinating, though, if that actually did affect the bottom line. You would see a lot of those messages vanish. And you'd see, like, I predict, if that does happen where the ratings continue to go down in the NBA, you will see a statement from Adam Silver. We made our point on social justice. We want to, since it's the playoffs, we want to get back to just basketball. So we're going to take the messages off the jerseys and that kind of thing.
Well, I think the true test of all this will be when the NFL starts scrambling around if they lose viewership based on, like, name usage and decals on their helmets and patches on their uniforms. Like, I think that will be the true test. I mean, NFL is king anyway.
Yeah.
So I think when the NFL now pushes with their social justice causes, I think that's the true test. Because NBA ratings have gone down annually. NHL is not strong. Major League Baseball is a regional sport. So I think the NFL, because it is king, and they have a lot to lose.
Yeah, no, there's no question that is the reality. And people, because of the way we're consuming television, not everyone's got cable. A lot of people got rid of cable, satellite television. There's a lot of streaming. You should never watch illegal streams, Gascon. That's wrong. You should never do that. You should never go to some of the great websites that have every single game you want for free. That would not be right. Should not do that. That would be inappropriate.
But, of course, if you're a T-Mobile customer...
Yeah,
you can get the MLB package for free.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, Bo Benson, one of your producers, told me, because we're T-Mobile subscribers, and he said, like last year he was able to watch all the Dodger games for free on his mobile device. So he's like, yeah, if you just call T-Mobile, they'll hook you up. It's an MLB active code that you can watch on an iPad, on a smartphone, or an Android device.
Oh, cool. There you go.
Yeah, so.
To do that. Well, I have my ways to watch.
I know. I'm still waiting for those links. I'd appreciate
it. Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to give it to you, but you did not treat me with the proper respect.
Not really better than me.
The old world mafia. You have to genuflect is what you have to do. You don't genuflect. Yeah. That's a bad job by you.
Sorry about that.
Shame on you. All right. Be or not to be. Here we go.
Oh, man.
This is Gascon's baby. Be or not to be. So exciting. Oh, my God. Yes. I'm so excited.
This is a joy across the world and an ode to the Babylon Bee, which is a prominent figure on social media, in particular Twitter, one that Ben introduced me to. Ben, these are stories. We got to find out if they're actually true stories or if they're from the Babylon Bee, which is based on parody and satire.
It's a satire site.
Yes. These are 5 titles that did not make the cut for him. First one, Trump estimates that it could take 4 more years to accurately count all votes.
All right.
It's a nod to what's going on in New York right now. How about this one? Democrats propose creation of national Trump voter registry. So that's like trace tracking, right? You want to shame someone that voted Republican or Trump? You could do that.
Yeah.
Third story that did not make the cut. Chinese government lays off entire propaganda team as American media doing their job for them.
Ah, there you go. That's funny.
Shout out New York Times and Washington Post.
Well, LeBron James, he's a media mogul. He's advising everyone how to deal with the Chinese people.
How about this one? Experts now recommend taking up vaping to increase social distancing.
Oh, there you go.
I don't get vaping.
Did not make the cut, though.
Did not make the cut.
Did not make the be or not to be.
And last but not least, we'll end this one on a high note. Woke polar bear apologizes for being white.
Is that the lead on CNN? Those dummies. Oh, it's hilarious.
That's good. All right.
Did you see the one, the LA Times wrote, this is actually in the LA Times, not on Babylon Bee, but they wrote a column sad because Trader Joe's did not bow down to the cancel culture. They were like, they broke our heart. They broke our heart because like seven people on the signed a petition to get rid of the names of products. I'm going to actually shop at Trader Joe's more. I don't usually go to Trader Joe's that often, but I'm going to go there more to support Trader Joe's for actually having the balls to stand up to these idiots. Good job by them.
What you should do is you should go to Trader Joe's and then buy Goya products.
Yeah,
that's exactly what you should do.
Exactly. Why not? I got to get my collection of Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's rice and Eskimo pies before those go off the shelves. They're not off the shelves yet. I think they're still around.
Nick, you know what you should do is you should do what a lot of people, like I have cousins that have done this, is like back in the day, G.I. Joe, Transformers, they'd buy all those collectible toys or they'd buy all those toys and not take them out of the package. And so now they're valuable collectibles.
Yeah.
You should do it for Aunt Jemima, though. Like, could you imagine the price? Yeah.
How long would that syrup last? I know honey lasts forever, but I'm assuming at some point that product would go bad. Eskimo pies you could just leave in the freezer.
Yeah.
If you got space in there.
Yeah.
I think the Uncle Ben's rice lasts a long time.
It does.
Also.
Yeah.
So all those items you could last. Yeah. It's actually not a bad idea.
All right, so here we go. Last week you went 5 for 5. So we
I was on fire. Greatest week in the history of be or not to be.
Yeah, so we got to get tougher with this one. So we'll start off with a really tough one. High scale, about a 9.5.
All right.
New Google technology autocorrects users' thoughts.
All right, so, boy, big tech, the oligarchs in big tech have been doing a lot of this kind of stuff where they block out. You see that video, the woman who had a video about the actual stats on crime with the police and all that, and YouTube pulled it because she was giving government facts, and they pulled the video that it was offensive, and you had to have an age. Oh my god! Yeah. You know, I'm going to say that's true. It sounds like something Google would do, right? The people at Google kind of take their playbook from China. I think that's true,
Ben. You're 0-for-1.
Ah!
It's courtesy of the Babylon Bee. So
Damn it.
Better from last week. So
no, worse than last week. Yeah. Better for you, worse for me.
Right.
Doesn't that seem like something like the algorithms on Google, though, that is something they could absolutely do? Is they say, no, you know, you said this, but that's offensive. You really meant this. This is what you meant.
Well, because didn't we have, it was a professor, it was a hardcore Democratic professor that voted for Hillary Clinton back in 2016, he testified that Google manipulated their figures and what they put out there for publication because it manipulated people on how they were voting in the 2016 election.
So he
talked about that a lot. I mean, they've done some pieces on it on Netflix too. Second one, governor signs legislation to allow ice cream made with liquor.
I'm going to say that's a B story.
All right. Ben, you are officially 0-for-2.
What the hell? That's bullcrap.
You are on Jose Altuve space right now.
No, you didn't say it right. It's Albuve.
So this is a special note to your brother. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo last week signed an executive order allowing the sale of liquor-infused ice cream in his state. Now, the kicker on all this is the liquor-infused desserts will only be allowed to contain a limit of up to 5% of alcohol by volume, and will have similar labels of that with wine, beer, and other alcoholic beverages.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah. That is, well, New York's crazy, man. That is. And they're stuck with that de Blasio guy for another year.
Yeah.
Unless they impeach him. But his term is going to be up in 2021. So there's another year that New York is going to be like the fifth ring of hell. And by the time de Blasio gets done, who the hell? I mean, they're going to have to bring in somebody with a big cleanser to clean up New York City, because that, what a rat hole that place is. It's morphing back. When I first went to New York, it was like, it was horrible. Times Square was a cesspool, and it was like debauchery and peep shows and nudie bars and all that, and crime, people getting mugged, and it's starting to turn back into that New York.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's bad.
How about this
one? What's next?
You're 0 for 2 right now. Can you go 1 for 3? Third
story.
That's
a 333 batting average. If I go 1 for 3, that's a good batting average.
Get you in the Hall of Fame. Public school teachers continue to insist their jobs are non-essential.
Let's see. So there have been a lot of teachers who have been complaining about they don't want to teach. They don't want to go back. They're freaking out about the kids giving them the corona.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that, but I'm going to say this is the Babylon Bee. I'm going to go with the Babylon Bee.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Ben, you are batting 333 on the season.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. There we go.
You know,
that's right.
Private school teachers, they think they're essential. Public, not so much. Shout out to the union. Story number four.
To
go 2 for 4.
All right. That's a 500 batting average. I get this right. That's great.
That's right. Actor pretends to not know head of company that is marking up cost of ventilators.
All right. So let's see. Actor does not. I did see there was a story about ventilators that took place this week. The overcharging of that. Babylon Bee.
Ben?
Yes, that's my name.
Ben.
Yes, what?
You are 1 for 4.
Ah, crap.
You should have stuck with your inclination. The actor, Billy Zane. Do you remember Billy Zane?
No, not really.
What he didn't have too many good movies. He was in the Titanic, but Billy Zane is pushing away from a company that is led by a good friend of his that is selling ventilators marked up 600%.
Wow.
All in all, the cost should be for these $150,000 for 60 ventilators. That would break down to about $2,500 a cost. These 60 ventilators, Ben, were sold for $17,000 each, totaling over $1 million.
Wow. That, man.
What kind of an asshole?
Now, my favorite part of these type of stories is there's always that douchebag in the back of the room who thinks this is acceptable.
Yeah.
Right? There's always, medical companies have to make their money back somehow, and so it's, I don't see a problem with this. Don't you know I punch those people right between the eyes?
Oh, yeah.
Right in the schnozzle, just bam! Right like that. Give him a haymaker. Give him a moneymaker.
All these opportunists, man. All right, so last one. This will help salvage a 1 for 4 performance and make it 2 for 5.
Well, 2 for 5 is 400 batting average. That gets you in the Hall of Fame. Ted Williams, call me the Splendid Splinter if I get it right.
All right. Well, we'll see. This one's challenging, too, because of what's going on down south. Texas construction border wall to keep out unwanted refugees from California.
All right. So this is Texas goofing on California and all that stuff, which we all know there's a rivalry there. There's bad blood. But I'm going to say this is the B, Babylon B.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Benjamin Maller, you were 2 for 5.
Yeah, yes, 400. I'll take that. That's better than, well, last week, 5 for 5. But, you know, you go 5 for 5, and the next day you go 2 for 5. That's a good day.
That is
that's
still
a
good.
That's a good couple of days for you.
You're still batting 700, so that's a job well done.
Okay, there you go. Are you ready for the email bag? You want to put on your hazmat suit for this email bag?
It can't be that toxic, can it?
Well, no, most people are pretty nice. There's always the douchebags that get in there, but most people are pretty cool.
All right, fair enough.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, these are actual questions sent in by actual listeners, and we thank you. You guys have been great. I put it up late. I forgot on Facebook this week. I put it up a little late, but you guys hooked us up, and it was pretty neat. All right, so you can email us, too. I got some of these questions from email. RealFifthHour@gmail.com. RealFifthHour@gmail.com. Remember to review us on the podcast, right? Five stars.
Five stars.
We need like seven to acid wash that Colin guy that doesn't like the podcast.
Well, he gave us a three, though. It wasn't a one.
I need a five.
All right.
Five or nothing. Five or nothing.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Dan in Durham, North Carolina writes in, have either of you ever had a close encounter with a shark, tornado, or any other deadly force of nature? All right. Well, Dan, I've never been with a shark. I've never swam with a shark. Although I'm in Hawaii, I swam with some giant sea turtles and some seals, and that was pretty wild. Tornado, no. Don't live in tornado country. I've been in some bad storms on the East Coast, but not a hurricane. I guess the biggest force of nature living in California is the earthquake.
Earthquake, yeah.
And I've experienced several of those big earthquakes over the years. The big Northridge quake back in the day and a couple of other tremors. So that's the one. You, Gascon?
Yeah, nothing with the shark. Earthquake is probably the closest. Kind of a blizzard. I was in Tahoe once, but it wasn't like it cut the power to the entire city for like 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't deadly. Like we were able to drive and get out to where we were, but yeah, no, nothing of a natural disaster that you need to worry about. So not yet anyway, knock on wood.
Well, you're living through an apocalypse right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Put that in your book, the apocalypse.
I survived apocalypse.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see who's next. John from Vermont writes in. He says, if someone gave you $1 million on the condition that you could never watch or listen to sports again, would you do it? All right, John, a couple of questions. Number one, is that after taxes? So I've already paid my taxes. I have $1 million capital. I don't have to pay taxes on it. That's important because you start paying taxes on $1 million, that becomes a problem. But if it is after taxes, $1 million, I could do it. We've just gone 4 months without watching sports. So that, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't like it. It would be an adjustment and I'd have to find other stuff to do, but I did for the last 4 months. So yeah. What about you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. We can go in so many different directions with that too, because if you want to watch something on television or on your computer, you can go to like movies or shows.
Yeah.
You could, of course, travel, sure. You know, make some transactions in real estate.
Invest in some Apple stock before it splits. You could do that.
Or some Tesla, maybe.
Tesla, if you could afford it.
Yeah. Sure. So,
when's Tesla going to split? Why don't they split?
I don't know if Elon Musk is going to do that. We'll wait and see if he moves one of his factories down to Texas, too.
All right. Dr. Goopy from Maine writes in, one of our favorites. He says, Ben, if you were offered a primo spot on Fox Television, would you leave radio forevermore?
Let me answer that. Fuck yeah, he would.
Well, I did television and radio at the same time. I was a part-time television contributor. TV pays better. It's just the reality of it, the economics of it. I've always thought it would be cool to just put the overnight show on television. Although I think radio should just be radio. I've said that. I've advocated for that a lot. But a lot of these radio shows are simulcast on television. It's easy to do. It's cheap. You just put a camera in the studio and you have like one person put it all together in real time. And that's an easy way to do it. And then you get double your money, double your pleasure. But yeah, I mean, if somebody offered me an amazing television job and like a 5-year contract for redonkulous money where I wouldn't really have to work for years after that, why would I not do it?
Yeah.
I love radio, though. I feel like I'm better at radio than anything, but you know, so what?
Yeah, but radio prepares you too for television, because in radio, you're always doing shit by yourself, where in television, you'd have like 5, 6, 7 producers. You'd have a makeup artist. You'd have someone doing your hair. You'd have someone dress you. Like, you'd have all that stuff at your fingertips. So,
yeah, but it was an adjustment. Like, because I am used to doing a lot of things really by myself. The content on the show is all put together by me, unless it's not. And then the problem, when you go to television, you got all these production meetings, and you got every block is planned out.
That's true.
A block, the B block, the C block, the D block. You're like, oh, my God, there's too many blocks. You know, sometimes we'll plan out. Like, we have certain bits that we do, but there's open segments where we just fill it with random stuff, whatever comes into our head. Matt in Rochester, New York writes in, says, if you guys were to skip a day of healthy eating, what would your go-to be for an unhealthy breakfast, lunch, and dinner? All right, so a breakfast, I would have like a nice French toast, a stack, a mile high of pancakes. I'd have those breakfast biscuits with the gravy. I'd have some of those. I'm going all carb all the time there. Maybe a little turkey bacon or something like that. I'd have that. Lunch, Philly cheesesteak. Philadelphia Philly cheesesteak with the provolone. I'd do that. Nice big fat pretzel, also from Philadelphia, just the kind that Fat sent in the mail a few months back. And then for dinner, I would maybe a big plate of chicken fingers and fries piled to the heavens. Piled to the heavens. And then a side, I'd have a barbecued burger, a triple stack cheeseburger with the onions, the cheese on top there, the garlic, all that. And then I'd also finish it off. A three-course meal, I'd have the Mahler pizza, oversized pizza pie, thick crust, garlic, onion, bell pepper, and I'd do that. What about you, Geska?
If we're going no worry about the diet, I'm going breakfast. It has to be a giant breakfast burrito, bacon, sausage, hash browns, no salsa. I'd be chasing that either with a mimosa or with a Bloody Mary. Breakfast from that, and I go to lunch. Lunch, I'm definitely doing a pizza. I'm doing like deep dish, meat lovers, or thin crust, one of those natures. But definitely doing pizza at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And then for dinner, I'm going to go off the reservation here. I'm going to go like a nice 40-ounce tomahawk steak, medium done.
Not medium done. You got to burn that bad
mashed
boy.
Potatoes, side of gnocchi, probably some sweet potato fries. I'd chase that bitch with a scotch, and then I would definitely have like, I don't know, like creme brulee or like some kind of like chocolate ice cream cake, like some kind of awesome dessert. But yeah, that's how
I'm
doing.
Yeah. Are you done?
I don't know. I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia says, I was wondering your opinions on if the NFL should try to do a bubble situation like the NBA and the NHL, or do you think the NFL players can be disciplined enough to do it like baseball? Well, Jason, do I think the NFL players are going to be able to handle it? No, of course not, because you're talking about 1,700 players plus in the NFL. Baseball, they don't have as many players as the NFL does. And the only difference with the NFL is the road trips are not like baseball, where you're on the road for a week and you got a lot of downtime to leave the hotel. Now they ban you from leaving the hotel and you get called out for that and could be suspended. Different in football, and especially with the teams that are all bunched up on the East Coast. They're talking about having teams fly out on a Sunday morning and play that afternoon. And so that limits the amount of time you would have, obviously, to go out and have debauchery and excess and all that. But I don't think the bubble is necessary. NASCAR has been able to pull it off. And you know, it seems like a little too much overkill, but for some people that are freaking out about this, I guess if you want to have the hotel bubble like the Saints or the Buccaneers, fine. But is it required? No.
I think it's a lot more challenging, but don't forget, if these guys break the bubble, then they're losing their salary. So that's the other thing that comes into play here. But I do think if you want to make this cost effective and to limit any kind of exposure, I think a bubble would be great. If you just use Los Angeles for an example, LA can get away with it. And the reason why, we have the Coliseum, we have the Rose Bowl, we have SoFi Stadium now, and we have StubHub Center. And even if you want to go down south, we got Petco Park and the Qualcomm Stadium. So you got those two ballparks there too. So
do you want to move the entire NFL to California?
No, but if you did one division, like you could do the AFC West here in Los Angeles or the NFC West in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, you could conceivably do something like that, but you'd have to put AstroTurf or whatever they call it, field turf.
Yeah, but don't they have the
destroyed?
I thought they had the retractable turf though, right? For SoFi and for SoFi Stadium, don't they have the retractable turf now?
Do they? I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'd be kind of down for that, but I mean, Major League Baseball.
I might have to go out there. I have a media privileges guest on. I might have to go out and see the Rams Cowboys that first game of the year because it's closed to the public. But I'm a media elite, so I might have to go out there.
Call me up and I'll drive you over there.
You want to go to the game? You
gonna
go?
Yeah, I'd fucking go. Yeah, I didn't put in for credentials, but yeah, I'm down to
go.
Well,
I haven't done it yet. We have time to do that, but maybe. Well, there must be plenty of media seating. There's no fans. You know, I mean, it's like there's no fans at all.
Yeah. No.
You know, maybe we'll do that. How about that? No. And I have not been to a sporting event, and even though media can go to these things, but I'm going to break my silence. Dodgers, Astros, Dodger Stadium, I'm going to one of those games.
Nice.
I'm going to be at one of those games. Am I going to get in trouble? Like, the players will hear me if I boo the Astros. Like Altuve comes up and I yell, Altuve! They'll be able to hear it because there's no one else in the ballpark.
Who cares?
I'll get kicked out, but I don't care. Yeah, I'm a rebel. Come on.
Yeah, who cares?
All right. Phil from Oswego, New York says, what is the ultimate pizza topping? My answer is pepperoni and sausage, but I get to pick two options because I have become a big tub of goo since the apocalypse. Well, good for you, Phil, letting yourself go during the apocalypse. Probably enjoyed the hell out of that. I love multiple toppings on my pizza. The traditional Mahler pie I just gave it is the garlic, onion, the bell pepper. That's the Mahler pie. But if I had to pick one topping, it's a toss. I got to go garlic. Roasted garlic on top of pizza is really just wonderful. What about really? You, Gascon?
I think Canadian bacon's good.
Canadian bacon?
Yeah.
Nobody picks Canadian bacon.
I know, but everything else.
Why would you pick Canadian bacon?
Because everyone else is going to pick pepperoni or sausage.
Yeah,
or
those
meatballs.
Are the big. Those are the big that my dad's a free. He likes the mushroom pizza, but everyone, you know, come on.
Listen, I'm not going to pick pineapple. That's one thing I will not pick. So
a pineapple pie?
Yeah, yeah. I can't do that, man. Can't do that to pineapple. Can't do it to a pizza.
Kevin from Minnesota says, should I kick the dog off the bed when I'm done listening to the last hour of your show? Well, that's a personal decision, Kevin. I don't know if I'd actually physically kick the dog off the bed. I might throw the dog off the bed, but you know, I know at the Mahler Mansion, Bella, she's in that bed all day. She's right there. No matter what, we're there, she's there. That's how she operates. She's a diva dog. Vols fan Jimmy writes and says, from Fayetteville, Tennessee. He says, Ben, if you won the lottery, would you continue to work? What would you do for your crew, including Mr. West of the 405? Well, listen, I would continue to work. I don't know that I'd work as much. I would cut some things out, so I have a little more me time. I'd do that. And what I would do for the crew is continue to engage them in witty banter on the audio channels that we're on there and give them some advice and tell them what it's like when you win the lottery. I'd do some of that, you know.
I'd probably make sure that you got fired.
Well, how would I get fired?
I don't know. I'd do something to make sure that you got fired.
Well, I think you're trying to do that on a weekly basis on this podcast.
But this is a little bit different. This would be for you, not because of you.
Ah.
You know, like, okay. Then you can get some peaceful sleep. Then you can have less stress. And then you can travel a little bit and not worry about the bullshit here.
That is true. I don't need to worry about the crap that goes on behind the scenes that we don't... Third rail, my man. Don't go on the third rail. All right. Rachel in the Alamo writes in. She says, hey, y'all. That proves she's from Texas. She said, y'all, take a shower with me every morning, like it or not.
I love it.
And she says, thoughts on the San Antonio Spurs. Well, Rachel, I've not spent too much time talking about or thinking about the San Antonio Spurs since Tim Duncan exited Stage Right. But I know Joe in San Antonio, some of our listeners there, Chris in San Antonio, all about that Spurs action. They're like this weird transitional phase where they're not terrible, but they're not great. They're just kind of mediocre. That's where the Spurs are right now. And in the next couple of years, because Popovich, he's near the end of the road there, and it's going to be similar to what happened with the Patriots with Belichick. Like when Belichick leaves and his time is coming up in the next couple of years, they go, what happened? They fall apart? Are the Spurs going to completely vanish? And there's so many disciples of Popovich that are coaching around the NBA, and it'll be interesting. But I don't have any real thoughts on the Spurs. Carlos in Houston writes and says, what's the origin story on Dick in Dayton? He also says the worst caller of the year has to be Chris in San Antonio. Okay. Well, we had another guy from Houston who called in the other night that was pretty bad with his girlfriend all hammered and all that. But Carlos, Dick in Dayton is a professional radio caller. He's been calling Fox Sports Radio since I began. He's one of the original callers with Cowboy John Brad, Doc Mike in Chicago. These guys have been with us for many, many years, decades calling the radio show. And I don't know too much about Dick in Dayton, other than the fact he calls a lot of radio shows, and I've learned a little bit from just talking to him, but I have traveled around the country, and I'm a radio nerd, so when I drive around late at night, you know, driving through Pennsylvania or upstate New York or whatever, I'll have the radio, I'll scan the dial, and I'll hear Dick in Dayton. He just randomly calls these shows, and it's great because he doesn't actually watch sports, and he doesn't seem to know a lot about anything, but he loves being on the radio. He works at Lowe's in Beaver Creek, Ohio. We've had super fans of the show that have gone to meet Dick in Dayton. He is actually in the Kettering Banjo Society. It's a real thing. It's not made up. I've seen photos. They've written stories about him in the newspaper, the Dayton Daily News, and some of the other papers there in Ohio have written stories about him. And he's just a nice, harmless guy that loves sports radio. And the great thing about Dick in Dayton, whatever I say, he'll agree with. Yeah, that's right, Ben. And I'd say the most ridiculous thing, and I bet the funniest thing we did a couple weeks ago was that pitcher for the Indians, is it Shane Bieber?
Yeah, Shane Bieber.
And then we were talking about the Indians, and I said, boy, the Indians, I really like this Justin Bieber and in the rotation. And Dick's up, yep, that's right, really like that Justin Bieber.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Pretty funny. Greg in Iowa writes in and says, have you ever been in a situation where you're watching the game with a group of other people? The game is between two rival teams, and you're stuck in verbal arguments between fans of both teams and trying to stay neutral. I don't usually try to stay neutral, Greg. I mean, one of the things with the job is most people know my opinion on a lot of this stuff. So I don't recall being in that situation. I've been in that situation more like we talked about earlier with politics, where this weekend we talked, you know, you're at a social event and you got to be able to read the room and know who's on which team and all that. That becomes a problem. But I don't remember any specific situation where you were two rival fans and you had no skin in the game. But anyway, here's one from Mason the Millennial from the Bay Area. Love the content, he says. See, Mason the Millennial, a big fan. Says, my question is, what is your most feared injury? For example, mine is breaking my collarbone, which I think David did also. Sounds like a complete nightmare. What would it be for you guys? I'm not going to answer this because last time I answered a question like this, it happened to me. So I'm going to refrain. You got Gascon, you want to answer?
Yeah, I tore my rotator cuff twice, but I think the one that I fear the most, just because we saw it a couple days ago with Atlanta, I think the Achilles rupture is probably the one thing I fear the most.
That's snapping and then
And it's just like you got shot and it's the smallest part of your body for the most part and you just drop like a bag of rocks. I mean, I tore a portion of my hamstring like running on the down near the beach and I popped the shit out of it, but I popped it and tore it in two spots. And the guy that was working on me doing ultrasound, he's like, yeah, I just did that with my calf and it was above, like barely above his Achilles tendons and or his Achilles tendon. And I said, hey, did you fall? He's like, yeah, as soon as that happened, I just dropped. And I was like, what were you doing? He said, I was climbing upstairs. I was like, fuck.
Wow.
That's horrible. And he was like 30 years old. So he's young, good shape.
And you know, I mean, that's a sign, Gascon, that you were one step closer to a convalescent home, that you're heading towards residential care, that it's autumn. You're in the final years here. You're at the tail end.
No.
You're in the twilight.
Listen, my
you're as old as the hills, man.
My
body's falling apart.
My medical chart looks like it's spread and prayed with all kinds of bandages. So torn the rotator cuff twice, busted septum, busted wrists, broken toes.
Yeah. So you are really the radio version of Cavity Sam.
Maybe, yeah. But I have
a lot
of grit.
Familiar with Cavity Sam?
I am. But still, this is
a game operation.
Don't try to bless me with a early dirt nap, if you will.
No, I'm not saying you're going to die. You're just going to be living in a convalescent.
Which is the same thing.
You got a hitch in your giddy up is what you got, Jessica. Yeah. You got a little hitch in your giddy up there.
And, oh, man.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're a salesman for toilet paper, but you have considered Charmin Ultra Soft. You have considered it at some point along the way. All right, what is next here? Matt in Grand Rapids, Michigan says, the episode where you recounted your excremental misfortune is still one of my all-time favorites, Matt says. Says, I find myself going back for a listen whenever I'm having a bad day or just need a good laugh. Well, I'm glad you were. That's called Schadenfreude, Matt. You're taking joy out of my shit. It's a bad job by you. If you missed it, I did it. I had my gallbladder taken out last year. And one of the side effects is that if you fast and then you eat a meal, if you eat fried foods or really heavy foods, It runs right through you. You literally get the runs, you get the Tennessee trots. And I had eaten a meal and I was driving into the studio and I had not given it enough time to unload. And I parked and I was trying to make it to the bathroom and I got into the elevator. I got upstairs and as I was running down the hall to the bathroom, I could see the finish line and the shit just came raining out of my ass, and it was, oh, it was a nightmare. And I had to do the show in like less than 10 minutes to do a cleanup operation, recovery mission, and then go do the show. Oh, it's horrible.
If you want to go back to that episode, it's on February the 21st, and it's titled eloquently Poop Festival.
If only the apocalypse had happened earlier than that, then I would not have happened. Because I would have been home. I would have been right here, the bathroom right there, no problem.
Yeah, but this just shows like you still have it when you need to bear down. You're like game seven. You only have your fastball left. You found a way to get to the bathroom.
There you go. Matt also said, he says, I came upon the review section of sugar-free gummy bears on Amazon. Oh. And once I stopped laughing, I wondered if there was a connection for your incident. Maybe you've been blaming your gallbladder all this time and sugar-free gummy bears are the real culprits. He sent me a link here. I would like to blame gummy bears. I don't think I've eaten gummy bears in a long time. So, it wasn't gummy bears. I wish it was. Pierre in Springfield writes, and there's many Springfields. I don't know which one. I'm assuming Springfield, Missouri, but maybe Springfield, Illinois. Pierre says, what is your opinion on burner accounts? I miss Ernie the Great Opiner, but do very much enjoy the Muppet Militia, who seemingly have taken out Ernie. Then he says, can you follow me on Twitter? Ah, I'm not following you on Twitter. There you go. Well, Pierre, listen, here's the deal. All right, we miss Ernie. Ernie was great for the show. He had a meltdown. He couldn't handle the Muppet Militia, and he quit the show. And, the Twitter mob got Ernie. People were jealous of Ernie being the person. Now, Robin Vegas is in many ways replaced Ernie as a guy that immediately gives me feedback on the monologues, but there's other people that do it as well. Moving Man Matt from Boston writes and says, why haven't you done a deep dive interview with the Moving Man on the podcast? It's twofold. It's a victory for you. Number one, you get blow-by-blow details on the Maller Food Marathon. That is true. He's done it twice. And Gascon will be annoyed. Listen, Matt, this is a great idea. Why don't we book Moving Man Matt for next weekend's podcast? I don't know. How about that? We'll put him on there. We'll do a little deep dive on that. It'd be great.
I don't get annoyed.
Get annoyed.
I do not.
By acting like you're not annoyed, you're annoyed.
No, I definitely am not.
Everyone can tell you're annoyed. You're west of the 405. You're pretentious. That's how you operate.
No. I just like to hang out with pretentious people.
You are the company that you keep. You're a prima donna. You're self-absorbed. You are all of that.
Oh, you and Tom Looney are rubbing off on me, apparently, then.
You put up this facade. It's not even a facade. It's real. Right? This veneer. West of the 405 veneer.
Well, listen, I'm just trying to give you the greener side of the grass because I know most of the stuff that you're walking on is usually dead. So I've brought you from the terrestrial days of radio to the digital realm of a new world.
Again, I hang out with a working class.
You don't even go to work. What the fuck are you talking about? You do not go to work.
Morning, noon, and night. I work more now than I've ever worked.
You don't go to work.
I have a home studio, a professional grade broadcast studio in the Mahler Mansion. I bring my lunch pail here. I get my hands dirty. I have to turn on the microphone and the equipment, plug the headphones in. I'm tough minded, gritty, scrappy. That's how I operate.
How many employees have technical equipment sent to their house?
I don't know. I built this myself WEEI. This was a homemade studio when I was doing shows for Boston on WEEI. I built all this equipment here. And I was actually, my wife's like, maybe we should get rid of it because I did not do the Fox show from here. And then we started the podcast, but I'm not getting paid anything really for that. So like, what am I doing? And it worked out. You're the white collar guy. Right? You're the non-manual labor. You're the corner office elitist. That's who you are.
Yeah, and do
curls. Those are your people.
Curls in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
You
know, arrogant, shameless, unembarrassed, all of that. Brazen.
Loud and proud. Pampered. No, I wouldn't say pampered. Ain't nobody pampered me here. No.
Definitely pampered.
Not taken care of. That's definitely not true at all.
Fussy baby.
No, definitely not.
Complain.
I don't bitch and moan, do I?
Yeah, you do. You complain.
You think I bitch and moan? I don't think I
bitch.
You
know what you do is you grumble. You're a grumbler.
Maybe.
You grumble.
But I'll be,
not full bitch, but you grumble.
I'll be a better grumbler when I'm 50.
Already crossed that Rubicon.
No.
Moving on here. Matt, I'll think about next weekend if you're available when we record the podcast for the weekend. Sue in Round Rock, Texas writes in, says, if the teams stop playing the national anthem, would people start watching the NBA and NFL again? The PGA doesn't play it, and the ratings are through the roof. I wouldn't miss it if it went away. There are some people who say, well, if you don't play the national anthem, you're bowing down, you're genuflecting to the protesters. They were considering 20 years ago getting rid of the national anthem in the early 2000s, like 2000, the year 2000 into 2001. And then this thing called 9/11 happened, and everyone started saying, wait a minute, we need the national anthem more than ever. And so there were guys back then that did not stand for the national anthem. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf of the Denver Nuggets was one. Brian Williams, who had changed his name to Bison Dele, the late Bison Dele of the Clippers. In fact, a buddy of mine noticed that Brian Williams or Bison Dele was not standing for the national anthem, and he talked about it on the radio. And the Clipper PR people, they were so upset. Oh, my God, were they upset that he talked about it. It was just deplorable. How could you talk about this? Oh, my God. It was a big mess. But, they're going to get rid of it. That is a solution. Would I not watch because they got rid of it? No. But there'd be some people that will be like, I'm not going to watch. But you got to look at the majority. You can't base decisions on the smaller group that is voting. You got to make decisions on the larger group. Marco from Oakdale writes in Oakdale, California. Whole team question. Favorite adult beverage, favorite weed strain. All right, I'll do the adult beverage. I like that root beer. You do the weed. Go ahead, Gaston.
I don't smoke weed. What the fuck?
You don't smoke weed?
Oh. No.
Oh, is that on the air you don't smoke
weed? I don't smoke weed.
Wink, 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 in air quotes.
I don't smoke weed, period.
Scott writes in and says, why doesn't Bella serve you breakfast in bed, Belgian waffles, and fresh fruit smoothie?
Because that dog is like half the size of his foot.
No, Scott is giving me a tribute. That's from a great commercial that we did. We had a radio commercial, and I tossed out Belgian waffles and fresh fruit smoothie.
Oh, boy.
That was my touch on the commercial. I ad-libbed that, too. That was an ad-lib.
Jesus.
All right, last one. Mark in San Diego writes, and he says, Ben, if you got called up from the minors to pitch against the Astros, would you buzz the Astros hitters' heads, even though you might get suspended or lose your spot on the team? You'd be a hero to the fan, for sure, but it's your career, Mark says. Well, absolutely. Mark, listen, it's hypothetical. And in a hypothetical situation, absolutely. Like, because the chance, this is a chance to be remembered. Joe Kelly's going to be remembered by Dodger fans for generations because of this. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? You want to do something, you're legendary, you're memorable. That's an act. Imagine, first game called up for the minor leagues and you drill Bregman just between the numbers on his back, or you hit Altuve on the arm and you shatter his wrist or something. Like, oh, man, would that be something. Of course, the other part of that is the quacking duck gets shot, right? Isn't that the other part of that?
Yeah,
it does work. Does work both ways. All right, anything else to promote here, Gascon? Any other funny business? Anything at all?
No, but just a friendly reminder to continue to rate and review 5 stars, of course. That's important for the podcast.
It'll be interesting to see the ratings on how the Looney podcast does, because if it doesn't do well, I will make sure to let Looney know that his podcast was not successful and not as good as Hacksaw or Jerry Callahan or Mike North or these other great radio professionals, legends of radio that we've had on the podcast.
Yes, we go from legends to a hack.
Next weekend, the Moving Man Matt podcast could be on the air. It might happen.
Oh boy.
We'll
put anyone on this podcast.
Jealous. We're supposed to put Chris in Houston on, but Chris is so far up the Astros took us. I don't think we can put him on.
Does he call anymore at least?
He conveniently did not call after the Dodgers swept the Astros. Somehow, I guess he was on vacation, the phone stopped working, even though he was tweeting the show. Yeah. Convenient.
Never fails.
All right. Have a great rest of your weekend. We're back on the radio Sunday night into Monday on the East Coast, 2 a.m. Monday, 2 a.m. to 6 Monday through Friday. On the West Coast, we start at 11 p.m. Sunday night in Los Angeles, Seattle, San Francisco, San Diego, Portland, Oregon, Las Vegas, and all the cities in the Pacific time zone. Figure it out. Find your local Fox affiliate. Listen on iHeartRadio. We'll be back at it. Have a great rest of your day, as I said, and we'll catch you next time.